Welcome to the We Collide podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
It is when we allow our kids to teach us a bit about God that a magical, miraculous world of faith opens up to us in a way that we've never experienced. Welcome to the We Collide podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and I'm excited today, and in fact, the next 2 weeks, to talk on the podcast about some things I've learned about God from my kids. And I think it's an important conversation because I think a lot of people talk about the things we need to teach our kids about God, and I want to talk about the things my kids are teaching me about God. And if you don't have kids and you're tuning on and you're like, this is not going to apply to my life, that's totally cool. Like, ditch out, press pause, pick a different podcast. But I bet for the most part, we all have kids in our lives, whether we're coaches or we're teachers or we're aunts and uncles or grandparents, or if we're full-fledged like me raising kids, there is a very important spiritual aspect of life that we can gain by leaning into it with children. So I want to talk about that in the next couple weeks on the podcast. I will never forget the day that my husband and I left the hospital as brand spanking new parents. Rob and I became mom and dad in 2001, and I had a very traumatic birth experience to my son, Aiden, and we almost lost him. He almost died, and I spent days in the hospital after he was born. So once they were ready to kick us out of the hospital, they checked off our car seat action, right? Like, went out to our car and made sure that we had that all, you know, in there, right? And then I got in the back seat with our baby Aiden, and Rob drove toward home, and we didn't even get to the first stoplight before I was in the back seat and I yelled, "Turn around!" And Rob looked in the rearview mirror, alarmed, and asked, "Why?" And I yelled, panicking, "We don't know what we're doing." And it wasn't just that I didn't know how to breastfeed or change diapers or make decisions about circumcision or when to feed solid foods. It was so much more than that. I didn't know how to calm a crying baby or what to do if he got sick. I didn't know how to be responsible for a human being and how to teach him how to be a good person or a great man. I didn't know how to discipline or train him to be a good friend and make good choices. And I really didn't know how to teach him about God and choosing a life that would be God's best. I wasn't raised in a home that talked about God and valued godly principles. And so I had no idea, how would I talk about faith with my kid? How would my kid find value in what I find value in? How would I grow into him a sense of conviction and a compassion for others and a desire to do right by God and people? And how would I be sure that he knows that he's loved by God? How would I grow a boy into a man with a firm foundation and a strong faith who would walk that out all the days of his life? How would I teach him to be one with integrity? And I had no experience with faith and church as a child. So how would I raise my child to know all of these things? And I wish I could tell you that as the days, weeks, months, and years have passed, that I now know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing. Every day I'm keenly aware that I have no idea what I'm doing. And I think that's where we've been misled regarding spirituality and kids. We worry we will do it all wrong, or we think we have to do it all right. We struggle because for some of us, we didn't have healthy examples of parents pointing us toward God. So in our fear of doing it all wrong, we do just that. We parent spirituality out of fear. And we grasp onto insurance plans that help us feel like our kids will be okay, but instead they become like religious robots. They give us the answers they know we want to hear. And some of us obsess and overparent God to a point that we might push our kids away from the very one we want them to draw near to. And some of us are so concerned with getting it right that our need to parent spirituality out of perfection becomes inauthentic and it becomes forced. And some of us treat God as though he is a prioritized event like a sport, so we schedule him in at dinner, bedtime prayers, and on Sundays. And some of us are trying to do it just like our parents, and some of us are trying to do it the very opposite. Some of us have no idea what to do, so we leave talking to our kids about God to the professionals, if you will, the pastor people, the Sunday school teachers, and the youth leaders of this world. And some of us are trying to figure out our own messy faith, so we avoid God with our kids because we feel like we have to have things nailed down first, and we don't. As parents, and grandparents, and aunts, and uncles, and teachers, and coaches, it is one of our greatest responsibilities, especially as parents, and one of our greatest joys to find God with our kids. And finding God with your kids might not look like the way you thought it should or wanted it to. So today, I just want to share with you some things that I have learned about finding God with my kids, and I am expecting with great anticipation that God will use a few of these things to meet you and your kids right where you're at. The first one is find them, and then you'll find him. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Look, when religious people were pushing kids aside, when stuffy spiritual people who thought they had all the right answers were too good for kids, Jesus let them know real quick they were wrong. Jesus said, "Let the kids come to me." See, Jesus gets kids and kids get Jesus. Kids don't have all the misconceptions or baggage or bitterness about God that we do. They don't have the need for all the answers either. Faith is a pure gift to children. Children just plop right up in God's lap. You know what that means for you and I? Find your kids and you'll find God. Go where they are and you will find him, for where your kid is, God is there too. The second thing is get schooled by your kids. I think we think in our relationship with our kids that we need to be the one to teach them about God. We think, I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to raise you up to believe what I believe. You know what? We aren't the only teacher. I call it getting schooled by my kids. In fact, there's several blogs on the WeCollide.net blog about me learning about God from my kids for, what, almost 17 years now. My kids have been my professors in the class of God 101, 201, 301, and on and on. It is when we allow our kids to teach us a bit about God that a magical, miraculous world of faith opens up to us in a way that we've never experienced. And the third thing is that God is everywhere. One night when Aiden was about 3 or 4 years old, we were driving to Cold Stone Ice Cream. And his cute little voice in the back seat, he piped up and asked me, "Where is God?" And you know those moments where our kids ask us questions and on the spot we feel like we're supposed to have an answer that suffices their question in a way that they can understand. And I didn't feel like I had it, but I engaged him in the moment and I thought about his question. And as I was driving, I said, "Bud, look around you. Do you see the sky? God is there. Do you see the moon? God is there too. Do you see that mountain over there? God is there. Do you see that man walking? God is with him. Do you see us in our car? God is here. God is everywhere." The Bible says, Bud, that there's nowhere you can go that God is not. And I was drawing from my own time in God's word from Psalm 139, and it says this. I'll read it to you today. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, God, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. See, I had read this psalm over and over again. I continue to read this psalm that reminds me that God is everywhere. So when my son asked me, where is God, I could draw from this psalm. And I said to Aiden, God is everywhere, Aiden. And I brought John 14:23 to Aiden's level. And I said, if you want God to, he says that he will come in and make his home in you. And Aiden asked, even in my tummy with the gummy bears? While he was deep in theological thought, Aiden was obviously craving his favorite ice cream topping. And I said, yes, Aiden, even in your tummy with the gummy bears, God will live there and be with you. And that night at bedtime, I was tucking this little guy in, and he said, I want God to live inside of me. And I said, that's so cool. I want that too. He lives in me, and it's the greatest gift I've ever received. Let's ask God to live inside of you. And so we did. And we asked Jesus to come and make his home inside Aiden with the gummy bears. And that is the day that my son opened his life up to God. God is not too cool or too religious or too big to come chill with ice cream sundae inside of a little kid's tummy. In fact, that is what makes God cool and big. He's big, and yet he makes himself oh so very personal and small and comes and he lives inside of us. His love knows no bounds and his presence is everywhere. And you know what else I learned from my kids? That God is not a one-time gig. God is way too authentic for that. A few years after my son Aiden invited Jesus to live inside of him, he went to his first vacation Bible school in town and came home a few days into the week of vacation Bible school crying. He said he didn't get any toys or pencils or erasers or a Bible like the other kids. And he was really upset about it. And I began to probe to accept Jesus into his heart, and he didn't raise his hand to do it, so he didn't get any of the sweet reward toys, but felt the pressure of faking it so that he would. How we communicate faith to children and how we allow others to do so is so very important. This invitation sets a child up to inauthentically say this prayer because they want a freaking eraser. So we have all these conversions, I say with air quotes, that are motivated by a reward. And the reward is not God. It's some cheap plastic toy made in China. And this creates a culture where there are the people who belong and the people who don't. Watch that mentality still live in the minds and hearts of Christian adults. This also communicates that it is all about the one prayer, not a lifetime of prayers where we daily need God. And there is very little room in this way of thinking for a process or a journey with God. And look, I understand celebrating a person's decision to follow Christ, but I also believe we should be showing just as much love to the kid who is still trying to grasp God and isn't at a place of faith yet, as well as the kid who has already chosen God and continues to every day. And so I just explained to Aiden, you know what, bud, you already prayed and asked God to live inside you. And you don't just pray that prayer once and never pray it again. Mom and Dad pray every day, all day, asking God to be with them, needing him. As Aiden was crying, as this little boy upset from VBS, I reassured him, Aiden, God is bigger than an eraser, better than a toy, and greater than a pencil. Jesus wants more for people and more from people than a one-time prayer. And I am sorry to tell you, friends, but you need to invite your kid into something bigger than a one-time prayer. Invite your kid into a real faith that goes beyond pencils and erasers and pressure. God is not a one-time gig, nor should we make God out to be so cheap that peer pressure or a material reward are what God would use to draw our attention. My five-year-old kid taught me to stand under pressure out of an authentic faith in an authentic God. One of the most important questions you can ask is, what kind of faith are you inviting your kids into? One summer, we went on a vacation with some friends. And from the moment we set out, Aiden was being grumpy, defiant, and challenging. And we had some great moments, but the week felt tainted by some rebellion and parenting trials. And I was battling insecurity as Aiden was constantly pushing the bounds. If we told him not to touch something, he touched it. If we told him not to go somewhere, he went there. He threw tantrums like a boss and whined more than he talked in his big boy voice. And I struggled with wondering if he was going to be in juvie by the time he was 15, as I compared him to our friend's perfectly behaved son who would one day be a librarian or the president of the United States. And I beat myself up for all the sinful moments that my son had witnessed in me and all the inconsistencies in my parents. And I wrestled with God, praying for patience and wisdom, and I was frustrated. And it was on that trip, on a very hot afternoon, where we were pushing our stroller on the boardwalk. And it was like, you know, pushing one of those big SUV double strollers, and our friends were walking in front of us, and they had the same thing. And two red-faced men sitting on a park bench hollered, "Can you help us?" And we all kept walking. The friends in front of us kept walking, and we kept walking. And we explained that we had no money and had only been using cards since we were in another country. And a dozen steps later, Aiden turned around from the front of the stroller and said, "Mama, we have water and raisins." And I kept walking away from these drunk men who were begging for money. And then I felt this sense, almost as if a hand was tapping me on the shoulder and causing me to really think about what response I would have in this moment. And I heard a voice that said, "If you keep walking, you will be sending a message to Aiden that he will live. If you allow me to do what I am doing in his heart, you will be paving the road for what I am calling him to." Is this the kind of faith you want to invite him to? One where you walk away from hurting people. It was like I heard God's voice loud and clear. Is this the kind of faith you want to invite your children into, where you walk away from hurting people? Decide now, Willow. I knew what I needed to do. So I picked Aiden up out of the stroller and turned around. As I carried my seemingly rebellious child at that time along the beautiful waterfront back to these men, I began to whisper in his ear what I believed God was telling me in that moment. Aiden, God is doing something in your heart. He's giving you a heart to help people in need. He's calling you to be a superhero in this world. Now, these were terms that Aiden greatly understood, because all he talked about at the time was Spider-Man. I said, "Aiden, it's always God's desire that we listen to him when he moves in our hearts and asks us to help others. Never ignore that feeling you get. Never keep walking. I'm so sorry I kept walking. Thank you for reminding me who God is, Aiden. God cares about hurting people. I'm so proud of you, buddy." As we approached these men, Aiden handed them the water and his sweaty box of raisins. And these two men couldn't have been more grateful. One of them asked Aiden, "Is that your last box of raisins?" And Aiden said, "Yes." They told him he could keep those, but they'd love the water because they were hot and thirsty. I feel like that day on that boardwalk, God gave me an insight and an encouragement into who my son was becoming and how God would use his life. But I realized it is my job as his parent to ask, what kind of faith am I inviting my kids into? And the invitation isn't in words, but it is with my own life and how I live it. So what kind of faith are you inviting your kids into? The sixth thing that I learned from my kids is that God made effervescence and McDonald's fries. I used to work with college students, and for years, they kept telling me that in our town, there's this effervescence you can experience down at a dock on the bay on hot summer nights. And it sounded so cool. Apparently, you have to wait until at least midnight after a really hot day, and then you can go down there in the pitch dark, and you jump in the water, and when you do, you will see the water light up like magic. And I'd been hearing about this for years, so our good buddies joined us, and we kept our kids up really late one summer night, deciding to chase this magical experience. And at midnight, we all hopped into the car, and we drove down to the water. And it felt like we were breaking the law, keeping our kids up that late at the ages that they were at the time. And we brought life vests. And of course, some of us chickened out about getting into the cold water. And it was pitch dark. You couldn't see anything. But our boys, Aiden and their boy, Caleb, they didn't chicken out. And so we put these life vests on them. And they jumped in so we could see this amazing light show. And you know what? Nothing. All that buildup, all that talk, we waited and passed the hours, we lost sleep, we believed, we jumped in and nothing. We dried off the kids and decided that we needed to do something to make up for staying up for nothing. But of course, everything is closed at 1 a.m. So we went through the McDonald's drive-thru and got French fries, which we never do. We drove around laughing at ourselves for chasing effervescence to instead catch McDonald's. And I share this story because sometimes seeking God is just like this. We chase the magical, but it's more about the journey. I think sometimes we want some magical experience with God for our kids, but God is way more about the journey. The same God who made effervescence made potatoes and salt, and he is not into doing magic shows as much as he is about us staying up together, chasing, hoping, and pursuing him. For the kids, it was more about the chase than it was about the sparks and the light show. To them, the pursuit was epic and will forever be remembered. So enjoy the spiritual pursuit with your kids, whether the effervescence shows up or you just have some really good fries. And you know what? Number 7, don't overcomplicate the conversation. What is prayer? Prayer is just talking to God, you guys. Kids can pray with their eyes open. They don't have to close their eyes. Kids can pray with their eyes closed. Kids can pray with their hands folded. Kids can pray with their hands raised up to heaven. Kids can pray whispering, and kids can pray singing. Kids can pray happy, and kids can pray sad. Kids can pray before they eat and with full bellies. Several years ago after dinner, the roasted vegetables were half eaten, the table was a mess, the dishes needed to be done, but instead of hurrying up and leaving the table to do homework and clean and make lunches and brush our teeth and on, we held hands. With full bellies, we gave thanks. We usually give thanks with empty tummies before dinner, but this time we prayed after dinner, and I highly recommend it. We do that sometimes. It's then that we don't take for granted the sustenance in our bellies and the fullness in our hearts. When we say thanks after dinner, we don't take for granted that all four seats are taken. We say grace after we eat for the grace which we have found in our story together. We thanked God for the food that satisfied both our palates and our need. We even thank God for broccoli. We thank God for laughter and farts and friends at school. We thank God for this table and these people around it. get out of your box and your spiritual routine and pray with full bellies, empty bellies, at bedtime, in the hospital, and even when you get a parking spot. When a kid comes to Jesus, it's not all formal and stuffy. They don't have that in them, and God knows that. It is okay if your kid says, God, you're cool. Amen. And you can say with the biggest smile, yeah, amen. And the last thing I'm going to talk about this week is I'm sorry are the two most powerful and spiritual words you might utter. A parental sinner, who would have thought, I mess up and I need God, and I have ever since I left that hospital almost 17 years ago after having my first kid. And maybe you do too. When we say sorry to our children, when we lose our stuff, when we're quick to judge or assume or cut them off or get impatient or ignore them in our bad moods, we're inviting them into what it looks like to blow it and depend on God to make it right. When we say sorry, we're inviting them into what repentance looks like and right relationship and true forgiveness. We can't expect our kids to say sorry if we never do. Talk about hypocrisy. I don't make my kids apologize. I model apologizing. You can't make someone's heart be sorry. They have to see what it looks like to take time to recognize their wrong and make right with another person. When they experience the peace and health that comes from right relationship with us, when we blow it and we say sorry, they will want that when they blow it too. A parent who says sorry models a contrite spirit and a humble heart and a life open to what God can do in the midst of our mess ups. These are words we should model more than we should expect. One time, Aiden and I got into it, and I blew it, and it really bothered me. And he was already in bed with the lights out, and I knew what I needed to do. So I went in and sat on the side of his bed and in the dark. And yeah, I was frustrated because there were things that he did, but I can't take responsibility for his actions. I can only take responsibility for mine. So I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten angry and yelled at you. I should have heard you out. I'm really sorry. My intention wasn't to hurt you, and I'm afraid I did. I need God to work in me. And at the time, this newly teenage boy reached his arms out and let me in, which was pretty rare in those days. And he said, it's okay, Mom. I am sorry too. Saying sorry invites both of us and our kids into a need for God together. And it is in these two words that God showers our families with forgiveness and love. There's so much I'm learning about God from my kids. And I think the more that we go to them, we will find him. Join us next week where I'm going to share some more things I'm learning, and hopefully it encourages you as you journey alongside your kids too. Thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at wecollidewomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.